Well, good morning, Thrive Church. How's everybody doing this morning? I love this story. I love this story because of a church somewhere in the United States, maybe a church just like Thrive Church, decided to take up the one-day challenge and give. And we hear the story of a young man whose life was changed because of a church's generosity. And because of the generosity of a church, a young boy was able to be fed and was able to learn, was able to grow up, and then extend back generosity to impact the lives of many more children. And that's what I love about the one-day challenge. We've been talking about Convoy of Hope, the one-day challenge here for a couple weeks, and today we're going to take the one-day challenge offering. And we're going to take that at the end of the service, and I would just ask that you just continue to pray about the one-day challenge is that you would take one day of your wages to give towards the one-day Convoy of Hope. They project that it takes $120 to feed one child a year, a school year. And if they believe that if they can, and I've seen this in Haiti, I've been in Haiti to see this, if they can get a child into the schools to feed them, then they can learn, and not only learn, but hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and a life can be changed through our generosity. So I want you to be thinking about that and praying about that. We'll be talking about that throughout this message here. We've been on a sermon series, and this is the last week on that sermon series called Be Rich. Everybody say, I'm rich. I'm rich. Well, some of you are new here today. Like, what are you talking about? Well, Paul tells us here in 1 Timothy, he's talking to young Timothy, a young pastor, and he's saying, Timothy, listen, this is really, really important. People say, should you be talking about money in church? Well, the Bible talks about money a lot, not only about money, but our wealth, our possessions, our lives. And so he's telling young Timothy, he says, listen, young Timothy, I want you to teach those who are under your ministry. Teach those who are rich. If you're rich, raise your hand. Everybody's rich in this room. I want you to teach those who are rich not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. So today I've entitled my message, if you want to follow along in your notes this morning, we're going to call this Be Rich in Generosity. Be rich in generosity. Has anybody ever been generous to you? Anybody ever been generous to you? Yeah, I mean, just think right now, the most generous thing that has ever been given to you. Years ago, Michelle and I, somebody was generous enough, and maybe some of you may feel inclined to do this as well for us, but somebody was generous enough to give us a cruise. Lord, right now, just begin to speak. Just speak, man. I mean, a couple people. If you just, in Jesus' name, amen. It gave us a cruise, man. You can't get much more generous than that. How many of you had a generous moment like that? Something to that effect. It just came out of nowhere. It was above and beyond. And let me ask you this now. Have you ever met somebody who, what word can we use? They were a tightwad. Have you ever met somebody who's just a tightwad? Someone who has so much ability. They could bless so many people. They could just feed over 100 or more children, but yet they hold back. They just can't let go with what they've been given. And here's the truth. The truth of the matter is, I think all of us have been in that place in some shape or form. And I think what happens is we become so focused on ourselves and our situation, and we don't see the needs of others. And that's why I think it's so important that we take a time out and throughout the year and just kind of focus on others. That's what we try to do every third Sunday when we talk about impact. We try to focus on others. And I think another reason why we hold back is because we don't feel like we'll have enough. If I bless these people, then I won't have enough for me. And I think the other reason why sometimes we hesitate with giving is because we get greedy. And greedy people, greed tells us this. Greed just tells us, I see that and I want more. I have enough, but I want more. And I got to have one of those. And I didn't know that they had those things out there. And I got to have one of those. And that's what kind of greed does. It just, oh, man. Every day is Black Friday sale. And I believe God is calling each and every one of us to live generously, to live a life of generosity. God wants us to be generous givers. God wants you to be a generous giver. Just look at your neighbor and say, I'm a generous giver. I'm a generous giver. And I want the other person to look back at that person and say, prove it. Prove it. The word generous means this, showing kindness towards others through liberal giving and unselfish sharing. I call generosity, this phrase fits it, it's above and beyond. It's just like, oh my goodness, you just went above and beyond. I have a coffee mug that was just given to me this morning. Some people they understand that I'm in a state of mourning after yesterday's Ohio State football game. And it just, yeah. No. Security. No. And somebody gave me an Ohio State mug, and that was very generous of you, but the pain is still there. All right. Thank you, Al and Pammy. You guys are awesome. But that was just generous. That was kind. So I want to talk this morning. What I'm talking about, and if I could just ask Nick and Christy, if you guys would come up here, I'm not just talking about your wealth. When we talk about generosity, it's more than just your wealth. It's your life, okay? Just look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about your life here. He's talking about your life. God wants us to be generous with our lives. And I want to talk about this morning, I want to share through Nick and Christy's story a little bit about what that looks like. You guys have a microphone. This is Nick and Christy Bancic. Say good morning to all of them this morning. Say hello. So Nick and Christy, you guys have been attending Thrive Church here for 6, 7, 8 months here and just became members of the church. We're glad you guys are connected. You may have heard Nick preach here a few weeks ago. But Nick's just got, they have an amazing story. And Nick, I want you to just kind of set us up here about what God put something on your heart to do, to be generous. Will you just tell us a little bit about this generous story, what God called you to do, and you followed through with it? Go ahead.
Yeah, so about 8 years ago, we were living in Stratford at the time, and there was a story that I read about another guy in Stratford who wasn't in very good health, and he was looking for a kidney donor. And as I read the story, I thought, you know, that'd be nice if someone did that. And day after day, it just kept going through my head, that'd be nice if someone did that. Until finally God put it on my heart, if everyone just says it'd be nice if someone did that, no one would ever do it. And so I had this crazy idea that I would do it. And so I told Christy, I don't even remember how I told you, probably in a text so I couldn't see her crazy reaction. And I just said, I think I want to see if I'm a match. And so we went through the process of all the testing, meeting him, getting to know him and his family, finding out what's involved in it, and in the end, donating a kidney.
Okay, so Nick, God put this on your heart to do this. How did you know this was from God?
I think it was just hearing over and over again, I want you to do this. If everyone just said, you know, it would be nice if someone did that, and I think I just heard God say, Nick, I want you to do it. Otherwise, no one will ever do it.
Wow. And Christy, I know, like, when husbands have ideas like this, sometimes they can just stay good ideas. But he brought this idea to you, and your response was what?
I thought he was a bit crazy, a great pipe dream. I know there's less than 5% chance that someone would randomly able to match to be a donor. So I was just like, okay, cool. He's not going to make it past the blood test match and the multiple trips then to Mayo. I guess at first I was just like very selfish. We had young children and I didn't want them without a dad and I didn't want to be left without Nick. And then what if he would need a kidney in the future, whatever. So eventually just going through the process, you know, we had lots of friends and family praying with us and I just felt like, you know, if God really wants us, then everything's gonna turn out how it should. You know, he'll be a match, he'll, like, everything. And sitting a lot of waiting rooms at Mayo Clinic day after day, we just, like, we're really healthy. I didn't really want to give my kidney, but if he wanted to, like, that's a great gift. He's being very obedient and just felt like, you know, there's so many people that we saw there that, you know, probably didn't make it out of those waiting rooms.
Yeah.
Just so much of that and just following through. And
so,
I don't know. It seemed like if he, that's really what he wanted to do and God made everything fall into place, like that was just what we were to do.
So this was more than just a step of obedience for Nick. It was a step of obedience to you. You had to give permission. You had to give your blessing. You had to give your blessing to this. And you had to wrestle through some of these fears and these thoughts. So, Nick, going back to you, you're in the middle of this process. There's a lot of travel and sitting in waiting rooms and all this. What kind of struggle were you dealing with, that inward struggle, through this whole process?
Yeah, as she said, we sat in a lot of waiting rooms. And at the Mayo Clinic, if you've never been there in Rochester, waiting rooms are like the size of this room, and there's tons of sick people. And I felt this huge burden that I had to pass all the tests, and I had to be the match, and I had to give my kidney, and the guy had to live and have a happy life. And I really felt God say, it's not the outcome that you're in charge of. You're just to be obedient. And I shared that this morning with the Circle Prayer Team.
Yes.
That we're just called to be obedient and God will do the rest. And so it isn't so much about what happened after the fact. It was just me doing what he was leading me to do.
So after, when you wake up out of surgery.
That was painful.
Yeah. And sometimes what God asks you to do, it is painful, right? But tell me about the days afterwards. What was your heart feeling like after you took a step of obedience with God?
Yeah, I think I felt good about that I had done what God had asked me to do. You know, the other guy was in the same hospital, obviously, and so I got to walk down the hall with a walker, whatever I had, and go talk to him and see how he was doing. And in the community surrounding us back in Stratford was just amazing. You know, I'm a firm believer that generosity is contagious.
Yes, yes.
We had boxes dropped off at our door from anonymous people filled with household supplies, and we had meals provided. There was another guy in Stratford shortly after that, because of my story, donated part of his liver. And then last year, he donated one of his kidneys as well. And then the recipient of his kidney, his wife, actually donated her kidney. So it just keeps going, I think. And,
yes.
And so it brings me joy to know that I did what I was called to do. I don't talk about it a lot, but I think if you do share about generosity, it becomes contagious.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what encouragement would you give to people on this topic of generosity? Life lesson did you learn through this experience?
I think to me it's just to be obedient and let the outcome be up to God, which just takes all the pressure off of you. You know, it doesn't matter if it's in your time with your kids, teaching them about God. You know, it's up to God what happens with them later. If you're giving to someone on the street and you give them money and you're worried about where the money's going to go for, it's not up to you. It's up to God.
Yeah.
Right? You just be obedient and it takes all the pressure off of what you're doing.
Amen. Amen. We appreciate you guys' story. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Christy. Appreciate you. Appreciate you guys. Man, generosity. It's with your life. God wants us to be generous givers, not just with our wealth, our finances, but with our lives. And in 2 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul is speaking to this Corinthian church. And this Corinthian church had heard about this church in Macedonia, and they were going through very difficult times due to a famine. They were just going through a really hard time, kind of like what we recognize what's happening all around the world with these children. They're not being fed. They're not being able to go to school, da-da-da-da-da. And so they decided, kind of like Nick was saying, they're like, hey, I could just sit here and say somebody should do something, somebody should do something. The Corinthian church, they must have got together and said, let's do something. Let's do something for this church in Macedonia. And so what they did is they got together and they took an offering. Now, some people ask the question, what is the difference between your tithe and your offering? We talked about tithing last week. Tithing is the 10%. If you make $100, it's the $10 that we give to God, and it resources the ministries of the church, all right? So an offering, again, kind of like the word generosity, is an act of generosity. It's above and beyond. Everybody say above and beyond. Above and beyond. So when you give to one day, you're not really being obedient to God to take that. It was like, oh, well, I can just take my tithe money and do it. Like, well, that's kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul. but no, tithing is an act of obedience to resource the ministry of the church. Offering is above and beyond. Everybody say above and beyond. I want to talk this morning quickly from this letter as he's writing to this church in Corinth. I want us to, I think that there's some lessons we can learn about being a generous giver. How many of you want to be a generous giver? Not just with your finances, but with your life. Because that's, we just took communion here a few moments ago. That's what the cross is all about. You want to talk about generosity? You want to talk about above and beyond? That's what the cross was all about. And as we call ourselves Christ followers, we're called to live in that example. And so here's some qualities we're going to read from this letter here. Here's what a generous giver is: somebody who gives expectantly. A generous giver is somebody who gives expectantly. Again, to the letter, verse 6, he says, remember this. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You see, when generous givers give, they give with an investment mindset. An investment mindset. So Nick, when he gave his kidney, he gave with an investment mindset. There's going to be something better, something bigger that's going to come out of this. So I'm going to give what I can here, but more is going to come out of that. And just like the story we watched in this video, a church gave, and this young man's life was impacted, and he learned and grew. And now he's educating many more children. There was an investment that was made. There was a return on that. And what is the blessings for us? Well, there's many blessings when we give generosity, but here's some of the biggest blessings. I think if you talk to Nick and Christy, I think you would hear that, like, it just felt good. I feel blessed. I feel like I was obedient to my Heavenly Father, and it just felt good to know that God would call me to help the life of another. And when you feel good, it brings you joy. But there's so much joy that comes from helping others. We talked about my wife and I. We were just able to spend some time with our daughter and their new granddaughter, our new grandchild. Have I shown you pictures yet? No, I don't have pictures. 7 weeks old, and we were able to go and spend time with her. And, like, you know, if you remember what it's like to have a new baby, like, you just need help. And just every chance that we could get, we're just kind of, let us help. Let us help. Let that baby puke on my shirt. Let that baby scream in my ear just to help. Mom, it felt good to help. I heard a story about a florist who was in Boston. His name was Henry Penn. And into his store one day came two boys and a little girl, and came into his shop, and they explained, and they said this. They said, "We would like to buy some pretty yellow flowers. Our friend would have liked yellow flowers. His favorite sweater was yellow, and he used to wear it a lot." And the florist kind of picked up on this, and he says, are these flowers for someone's funeral?" And the children nodded and fought back the tears. The little boy pointed and says, "That's his sister. Our friend was struck by a car yesterday, and we were playing in the street, and we saw it happen." Then the other boy added, "Us kids, we took together a collection, and we got 18 cents here, and we would like to buy some yellow flowers. Do you have any yellow flowers for 18 cents?" And the florist was just touched by what is just happening, what he just heard here. And he says, "You know what? I have some nice yellow roses here that I'm selling for 18 cents just today." And one of the children reached into his pocket, and he pulled out the 18 cents, and he gave it to the florist, and he walked out with a beautiful bouquet of flowers. And the florist said, Henry Penn is his name, he said, "From that experience, I felt uplifted for days. I had been given the inexpressible privilege of sharing with others in their time of need. It feels good to be able to bless others in their time of need." You know, in Galatians 6:7, it talks about this principle. It's called the law of the harvest, the law of the harvest. In Galatians 6:7, it simply says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked." Listen to this part. Maybe you've heard this before, but he says, "A man reaps or harvests what he sows, what he plants." It's a farming principle that they used back in those days, and it applies to all of our lives. Many of us have learned this lesson. What you put into your life, what you put into to your work, what you put into your family is oftentimes what you get out of it. It's what comes out of it. Years ago, when we lived in De Pere, we planted these raspberries, these small raspberry bushes. And man, we love raspberries. And sure enough, at the end of the summer, we had raspberries everywhere. It was the most glorious thing ever. It's because what you plant is what you're going to harvest. We had raspberry cobbler. We had raspberry pie. We had raspberries in our freezer just from these small stickly bushes that we put in it. And then the next summer, I mean, just, we had more raspberry bushes and more. It's just a wonderful thing here. And it's kind of like some of you here today, you've discovered this principle in relationships. The more love you put into relationship, the more love that seems to come back. Some of you have learned the more bitterness and strife you put into a relationship, well, then that seems to be the very thing that comes back your way. Some of you are learning this principle of giving, that when you just give, it just seems like it comes back. People give back to you. What you put into this is what you get out of it. Let me just quickly talk to you about the law of harvest. You need to understand this about the law of harvest. What you reap after you sow. You don't reap a harvest until after you have sown. Does that make sense? A farmer doesn't go out into his field and have a harvest. No, he must take time and work and effort and energy and sometimes pain to plant the seed. And by faith, sometimes by faith is painful and hard and difficult, but by faith in due season, at the end of the summer, there is a harvest, but you don't reap until after you've sown. Second of all, you reap. You always reap more than you sow. Isn't it amazing the power of one seed? Michelle and I, one of our favorite places to go is Door County. We went to Door County. We went cherry picking. Anybody ever been cherry picking in Door County? It's so amazing that just one or two small seeds put it into the ground and taken care of can grow this tree. And it takes time for that tree to develop. And then you have like, I think we tried to count, and I think we came up with a gazillion cherries on one cherry tree. It's amazing. But you reap When you reap more than you sow, Jesus talks about this principle of generosity in Luke 6:38. Jesus says to us, I want you to give. Give, and you will receive. Principle of sowing and reaping. Give, and you will receive. You reap harvest. And he says, your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Do you understand what that means? Running over and poured into your lap. I mean, that is like pushing. How many of you ever have those K-cups at home? That you can make them your own. Sometimes I'd like fill it to the brim, and then I'll shake it and try to get it all as much coffee into that pod as I possibly can. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Like, I'm not just going to give you something, but then like, you just shake it up, and we're going to get as much in here as possible. It's going to be running over. The amount you give will determine the amount that you get back. See, Jesus challenges us to give generously. Let me continue on here. A generous giver gives with a right heart. Paul continues on in this letter, and he says, but I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. So he's talking to the Corinthian church, and he says, listen, we're going to give a gift here, and it's above and beyond. This is when I talk about your tithe. This is above and beyond giving, but I don't want you to give grudgingly. Verse 7, he says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. He's talking about a right attitude. It's so important to have a right attitude. You ever notice, have you ever received a gift from someone who had the wrong attitude? They give you a gift, and it's, but it's reluctantly, like, here, I got something for you, and they won't let go, and they're reluctant to it, or they give with an expectation of return. It's like, hey, I gave you this gift, now what did you give me? You might get that at Christmas time here with family members. Like, hey, I got you this nice gift, and what did you give me? Yeah, those people are kind of irritating. Don't be that person. Don't be that guy. So how does receiving from that attitude make you feel? When somebody gives to you reluctantly, how does that make you feel? Have you ever received a gift from someone who was excited to give you a gift? Have you ever noticed when somebody's excited to give you a gift, you cherish it that much more? Here's how to give with a right heart. As we come up on Christmas season, quickly here, how to give with the right heart. I just encourage you, when you give, decide to give, whatever you decide to give, your life, give willingly. Give willingly. Give in the same manner in which you would like to receive from others. Second of all, I would tell you, you know, be open, pray. God, I just tell you this, God wants you to be a giver. That's in the Bible. You don't even have to argue with that. But ask God, God, what kind of giver would you like me to give? God doesn't want you to feel manipulated. I have to give or else. But God wants you to give out of conviction. Give out of conviction. And that's what I think Nick and Christy were sharing with us this morning. We felt convicted that this is what God is calling us to do. It's the right thing to give. And I know I should give. That's what I'm going to do. The third thing I would tell you to do is give cheerfully. Again, Paul says God loves a cheerful giver. And that's an attitude of the heart. The third, a generous giver gives in faith. Listen to what he says here, verse 8. And God will give generous. God will generously provide all you need. Do you believe it? Then you will always have everything you need. Do you believe it? And plenty left over to share with others. Right? Verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. The big challenge in giving is, if I give, will there be enough for me? And Paul, he just automatically, he must read this in their minds because he just already answers this question. It's like, listen, I know what you're thinking here. And listen, God will provide. God will provide for your need. Here's a couple of thoughts on giving. First of all, understand this, that what Paul's trying to say to us is God is your provider for all that you need. God is your provider. Number two, God will provide all that you need, not always what you want. Not always what you want. How many parents out there? How many of you parents, you give everything that your child wants? How many of you know, as parents, that would be like one of the most foolish things that you could do, is to give them everything what you want. But how many of you parents, you give your child what they need, whether they like it or not? We give them what they need. That's what our Heavenly Father says. Listen, I know what you want, and I know what you need. I'm going to provide for your needs. God will always provide enough for you to share with others. Did you hear that? And when God blesses you, he's always going to give you enough to share with others. God will give in more ways than you expected. God's greatest desire is to give you a generous spirit, to put a generous spirit inside of you. Number four, a generous giver gives missionally. Everybody say that, missionally. Listen to what Paul says here. Listen, he says, look at the response that's going to come from your generosity. He says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Isn't that cool? When you're obedient to God, people are going to look at you and say thank you, but they're going to look up to God and thank you, God. Thank you, God, for sending this person. He says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. I love that. I love that. When we give missionally, people's needs are met. Children, that's our goal, is for 100 children in a third world country, for their needs to be met. And when that happens, I believe that these young children will give glory to God. They may never see your face. You may never see a child that you're affecting. But I believe they will take eating their food and they will say, thank you, God, for your provision. Isn't that really what it's all about? Isn't that really what our life is all about? Is that everything that we do brings glory to God. Number five, a generous giver gives obediently. Paul finishes his thoughts in verse 13. He says, for your generosity to them and to all of believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. I love this story about a man by the name of Arthur DeMoss. And he was a very gifted and godly businessman. He built one of the most successful businesses of his kind in the United States. And in the process, he gained a fortune of an estimated $500 million. He founded the Arthur Moss DeMoss Foundation that supported generously many life-giving ministries throughout the United States. Then all of a sudden, there came a time where there was a recession and the economy was in the tank and his stocks began to tumble in his company. He says that he lost $360 million in only 4 months, an average of $3 million a day his company was leaking. But DeMoss was a generous giver. Many of these people who were talking to him say, hey, well, maybe you're going to be cutting back on your generosity. No way. No way. Listen to what he said here. His response to when being challenged of being cutting back, he said, the Lord gave me everything I have, he explained. He says, it all belongs to him, and if he wants to take it away, that's his business. I don't lose any sleep. I still have a wonderful family. I will do anything God wants me to do. If he takes away everything he has entrusted to me and calls me to the mission field, I'm ready to go. All he needs to do is open the door. That's obedient giving. Obedient giving. God honored his faith and obedience and eventually restored everything that was lost in his company and then some and more. God blessed his obedience because his focus was on God, God's generosity. I want to ask you this morning, so we've been talking about this principle. Why are we talking about money? One of the biggest reasons why we talk about money is because it's in the Bible a lot. I think it's in the Bible a lot because money can be God's biggest competitor. And I want you to understand, hear me this morning, God does not want your money. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. You know, I've been praying about this, and I felt like God's just been... There's moments in our faith journey. I don't know if this has happened to you, but I look in my own faith journey. I remember the moment as a child that I gave my heart to Jesus. Remember that? You remember that moment you surrendered your life to Jesus and you gave your heart to him? But I know it wasn't until years later that I gave my life to Jesus. There is a difference. And I believe messages like this are those moments, like tithe or not tithe, give offerings or not give offerings. I think these are these moments where we say, you know what? I gave my heart to Jesus. Now I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm talking this morning about generous givers. Generous givers give expectantly. They give with the right heart. They give in faith, they give missionally, and they give obediently.